This episode of Conversation is supported by the generous donations of Klaus Schwab. You can support us too at truthmeets.com. Click on the support link.
This is truthmeets.com, Saturday, let's have a look at the calendar. The calendar is is it the 11th? I think it is. The 11th of July, 2026. Be told, episode number 73. Would that be right? Who's to know? Now, I've just been re-listening to episode 55 of my fantastic, I'm going to have to say this, one of the greatest shows ever, being out there at the moment because I, you know, guess why? Because I trust myself. I trust myself. I know that I'm not involved. I'm not a, what's the word? I'm not part of the technocracy.com. I don't like anything to do with computers. I don't own one. Literally. I've got a 3-year-old, 2-year-old smartphone. Can you hear that cough? Full on. It's probably got a good diary of my health, this show. Because last week, about exactly 7 days after my older son started coughing and spluttering, and there was me turning around going, can you just blow your nose properly? And turning around, I was commenting on his being sick and saying, can you manage this better, please? What a fuckwit. What an idiot. Within a week, I became that exact same person. Another reason why I'm doing shows by myself, because there are platforms out there to deny the flu, etc. Now, is it you getting rid of expelling poisons? I'm not so sure. I do think I'm with the because I'm into homeopathy, like Crow 777 has that Italian guy. He did expert homeopathist who described getting sick as a electrical parasite or thereabouts. I'm telling you, I've been sick. Now I'll stop drinking. I'll stop smoking. No problem whatsoever. Whenever I want to do it, I do it. But did it help? I'm not sure. But my son had to go on antibiotics and then now he's a lot better. So antibiotics, no matter what anyone says, and I've been through it before, if you've got an infection of some form or something nasty, these little pills that your Western medicine doctors give you do seem to help a chronic condition. And this cough is like, I've had it before, and I mean, I've done how many years of shows? 8 years. In 4 months, you know, July, so I started on April the 1st, 2017, or was it 2018, whatever it was. So I know it's over eight years, so you'll hear me with various conditions, coughing, spluttering, around the same time, and it's usually June, July. Now, I do not think this is an allergy. I think this... the description that Crow 777's guy had on as a kind of electrical parasite that gets into your system. I'm fully into that because I'm totally into Chinese medicine, the body electric, 100%, billion percent. So there's a there. I haven't been so sick that I haven't been able to go to work and do everything, but I was definitely, I had a couple of days fully in bed, didn't even do anything. Watched TV a few times, which I do recommend. And when I say TV, I recommend YouTubes. And I'm going to recommend a few YouTubes for you. It's almost anything on the BBC archives of the 50s, 60s and 70s. Their old documentary shows. We're actually going to get to see what life was like in the 50s, 60s and 70s, and particularly England. And can I just tell you now, there is no evidence of, if anyone said to me the good old days, I'm going to have to tell you that there was never any good old days. If you don't have money or you weren't living in New Zealand or Australia where you had the ability to get out of England, which I, to me, is probably the worst. England, Scotland and Ireland have been through hell, literally. They never had anything till the 60s when you started getting the music, you know, the pop culture took over and you, all of a sudden you had pop music coming out and, you know, you got movie stars and rock stars that came out and they made money and you looked at them as to be, you know, the things weren't that bad because Cliff Richard had a nice suit on. The Beatles had nice suits on. But you were there living in this often, you know, if you had a Catholic family, which was probably eight of you living in a 1 to 2 bedroom house, if that, and that's even going on in Australia, the land of milk and honey, in the working class areas. The average house had mum and dad and 6 to 7 children and more. And so if you think that is, like I grew up in New Zealand with parents that had grown up here and their parents had also been born in New Zealand, but their parents had come from England or Scotland or Ireland or Wales, whatever. And they came over there to escape what I would call one of the worst countries on the planet, England, where they were just literally hardly fed. They've been, you know, I'm going way back to the Corn Laws, the Rothschilds, when they, which I do believe would have, you know, I'll give that bit of history accuracy. It was about 50 to 100 years before the Industrial Revolution of England. We had all these beautiful farms and, again, I call them fiefdoms, little cultures, little castles and everything. Something came in. Was that the cat weasel's enemy, the Normans? Norman! Was it the Norman Conquests where they just started this incredible army came in with weaponry you'd never seen before, on ships you'd never seen before. Like they, apparently they had like these giant ships that just cruised in with almost farms on them. You know, they were totally self-sufficient and they ran their takeover of England back then. And I was a big fan of Cat Weasel, as was Rollo. And this is Saturday night and it's an anniversary. No, it's not an anniversary, but it was Rick and Rollo should be on at this hour of the night. Rollo's, all the information I'll give, he's allegedly he's back in hospital. That's all I'm going to say. But it's probably for a good reason. And I'd rather him be there than sitting at home by himself. Because I think Christy's away on holiday and she's contacted me and said he's in hospital again. But they're just keeping an eye on him, which is fantastic. Yeah, Western medicine is not your enemy. If you're that sick and if you've been deliberately drinking yourself to death, which is exactly what their guy has been doing for 8 years, and I know it more than anyone else because I've been there watching it happen. And it did annoy me in some ways because, you know, but, you know, everyone's got their whatevers, you know. You want to do what you want to do. You're perfectly entitled to do whatever you want to do. Do you want to drink yourself to death? Go for it. I used to get really angry about this because there's me having to drive to fucking sit. Now, Winnie!
here?
Sydney. Or whatever I'm doing up here, go to work and work hard. But what else are you going to do with your life? I've said this before. You need to have you need to have this is beer. This is not someone urinating into a toilet like a fakeologist.com after 2 o'clock in the morning with various people doing that, or one in particular. I keep mentioning it. And everyone's done it before, I'm sure. I'm sure they have, but you want to hear, if you can, good information without someone urinating in the background. That's why I do not like doing shows with anyone talking with me. Occasionally, there's been I've got Martha and Emu Dance and a few other people that have come and no problem. But on a 10-man show, which I've done many, many, many of them, what I did is end up taking over the conversation because I've got a louder voice like Rollo. And dominating it, which I'm now happy to let other people take over on fakeologist.com and do their own thing over there, because I'd rather do my own shows, and it's way more fun for me to talk to myself. I've got no problem with talking to myself. Speaking of which, I saw this today again, and I've been on about this for a while. When you see a woman walking down the road screaming and gesticulating, or a man, whatever, back in the old days, you go, well, the mad has had her. Look, there's a loony over there. Now you cannot judge people because they've probably got a AirPod very discreetly in one of their ears, and they're either arguing with their boyfriend or their girlfriend or whatever, and they're completely normal. They're not lunatics. They're not talking to themselves, which I love doing. Talking to yourself is a good thing. And I won't be able to remember the guy's name, but there's a fantastic guy I just spotted him on Facebook. I think he's Australian, and he's just wandering around, probably around the same age as me, babbling stuff, and it makes so much sense. And I noticed that a good friend of mine from New Zealand's actually a subscriber to him, me and him were best friends at school, great friends at school back in the 70s. And he gets it. He understands this guy's saying really good stuff. I won't be able to remember the guy's name, but I will share it. If you're on, he's Australian. He's got quite a lot of people listening to him. And he just walks around just babbling. But what he says about your own brain attacking you, which I want to talk about, it's a thing. You've got who are you? Who are you? Do you know who you are? And these voices in your head, who are they? Is it you? I would say often not, and I'm big onto Jerry Mazinski. Big time. I would call myself a Jerry Mazinski groupie. If I see that guy doing a show, I'll come and listen to it. Highly recommended. But this guy, I forget his name. Do you want to look up? Can I be bothered? No. No. Have I got something up my nose that's making me sound sick? Yes, yes, yes. My son, though, he was way sicker than me for 2 weeks. His mother or someone, or he got himself to a doctor, and he's on antibiotics, and I can hear that he's a lot better than he was 3 days ago. So I do believe in antibiotics. Yes, 100%. I had pneumonia when I was 30. Was I 33? No, I was a bit younger, but I was fit as a fiddle, and I was hospitalized with bacterial pneumonia. It's a fact. It's not anything more insidious than probably a mold or a spore that gets up your nose at this time of year when your immune system's down, or if you're stressed. Now, this is the other thing that's killing you, guaranteed stress. And watching the news, without us, what do you call it? Having that cynical mind, you're done for. Today I saw on the British press, great white sharks and jellyfish are heading to England. You know, like they basically said they're coming over there to kill you. What a load of old cobblers. But that's, you know, there's people out there, and I was going to have to say that I was affected by the shark thing, even though it is a real problem where I live. But do I not go to the beach? No, I go to the beach. when it's warm enough. But I don't go swimming out past a certain area at a certain time. Smart move. But as far as in England, I would be very surprised if there's any giant jellyfish or great white sharks heading to you, because it's too cold and miserable over there. And your history, to me, it makes me so glad. I used to be wanting to go back there as a growing up. I remember listening to, you know, I had this urge to go back to England because that's where my ancestors came from. England, Scotland, Ireland, whatever. When I go back and listen to the history, and Alan Watt, ding, 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 was a great one for bringing this up, because he grew up in Scotland back in the 60s. I grew up in New Zealand in the 60s, but I was only, you know, I would hazard a guess he's about 10 years older than me, or was rather. But we had it way better over there, and it was full of English, Irish, and Scottish that got the fuck out of England, and we're very English centric though. All our TV was the Coronation Street number one show, Benny Hill, you know, Crossroads, never watched that. But all these English stuff, we were very English, and we don't hate the English like this. The Australians over here were really anti-English. Always the palms, you know, because a lot of them were convicts that were sent over here. New Zealand was the opposite. They went there willingly, willingly. A lot more, I would say New Zealand would have been a bit more dangerous, though, back in the day, in the 1800s with the Maoris. A bit more aggressive than the Aboriginals, guaranteed. You're listening to episode 73, Be Told.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
Everything sounds better. Sorry, Joel, if you're out there, it sounds better. Last couple of times I did shows, when the bumper came in, it sounded all distorted to me. But when it came out, when I just re-listened, the last one was vicious. The bumper sounds fantastic. I don't sound fantastic. There was something weird. I think it might have been another microphone that I was using. Anyway, all good. Sounds fantastic. Joel, you're a champion. Be told. And I'll keep, there's another show out there. Before you listen to this, there'll be another show coming out. This is I did one on Monday, I think. I just love truthmeets.com. That I can come on here, and I know there's no one else's. Well, sometimes if they want to come on, they can come on. But I do my own stuff, and I don't need to be rehashing what fakeologists and these other. You have to talk about a certain. You have to have a fakeologist bent. It's a gist. Ist. I don't want to be part of ists. I'm not an ist. I'm a individual. When I say you listening, I talk to you listening, not we. We as part of some kind of group. If you listen to Be Told show, you're just a regular listener. You're not encouraged to send me any money, and I actually have refused a number of people have offered to send me money. I just said no, even though if I was someone like some of the cheaper shows out there, like the one particular guy that he wants money for everything, and his material is just fucking lame. I'm not going to even name his name, but he'll know who he is. No, no, talking about fakeologists, not at all. I think he kind of got rid of him as well, and why not? But here, I'm just talking my mind. You're getting a free thought from an individual that's been around for 62 years coming up in a few months' time. 62 years of being awake and not trusting the media and not trusting and having a, I just remember having like very, I looked at things, I could just tell this is not right. Particularly the education system. I've talked about this all the time, but I did not like being sent to school. I hated every single, until I was old enough, that was probably around when you're 16, when you can actually walk out when you get to fifth form in Australia. In New Zealand, anyway, you've got the ability, you can just, if you don't want to go to that class, you don't have to go to it. no one cared. And so often I just did not go to classes I didn't want to go to. But I loved English and social studies and things like that. Social studies was what we would call now, I don't know what they call it, but it was like just learning about different, with apartheid, et cetera, et cetera. That was one of the subjects. Usually very much left of center stuff though. It was kibbutzes. And when I was there, we studied kibbutzes, New Zealand feminism. Can you believe it? The history of the Labour Party. A load of old cold's wallop. But that was part of the curriculum back then. And that's why there's so many people older than me, sorry, younger than me. I think I was about the age where that era had their own mind. After that, the left came in, particularly the Australians. They are so, they love bands like Midnight Oil. I didn't like Midnight Oil except for one song, maybe two songs. I could tell they were just this anti-nuke, bullshit, lefty, wank band, and that's what they were. Never got into them. I didn't like the look of Peter Garrett at all. He says drinking. Now, I am drinking beer. Should I be? Possibly not. But I can just stop. It's amazing when you've got the ability to just go, no, I'm not having any more. I've had three or four nights not doing anything, and I sleep a lot better. It's fantastic. So I think alcohol's bad for you. There you go. Unless you're working really, really hard and it's hot, beer is not your friend, really. A couple of whiskies or something or other when you're with the right crew, no problem. I think I would prefer to be drinking it right now. I would love a very expensive bottle of Glenfiddich or something like that. Way more palatable with some honey and drinking it hot. Maybe I'll go and buy one tomorrow. Who's to know? Maybe I'll just stay not drinking. I think that's possibly a better thing to do. I could just give it up like that. It's not part of my curriculum. And what I do is I go and I watch old YouTubes. And I've got these things, now they know what I'm into, thanks to the algorithm. They're sending me documentaries just on London, and London in the 50s and the 60s. And I could just sit there and watch and absorb the stuff, because I was lucky that my ancestors got out of there, but they had of course there were some great times you had, you know, if you back in the day when you're family centric, like Ron Wood's a great example. If you read Woody from the Rolling Stones, he came from a family of that would have been originally pirates or just seafarers, but they grew up right on the beach, you know, on the River Thames, living in boats and playing guitars, and you know they're all, you know, itinerant, probably wharf workers and whatever. Fantastic book. He is really interesting. I'm a big fan of Ron Wood. Big fan of Ron Wood from the Rolling Stones and the Faces, and him and Rod Stewart, great mates. Just a really genuine nice guy. Even though I can tell you that he actually moved into some very suspicious houses. I don't think he had any awareness of this, but he was just kind of one of those guys that was just hanging around that scene. He's a great artist as well. And he married this beautiful English girl, Jo, who was his wife. And then he went left of some 16-year-old Irish woman in the 90s or the 2000s. What a silly thing to do. But that's what men are like when they, you know, it's just sad. Sad. But Woody, as I would call him, his biography is fantastic, but this is feeds into another one of my great conspiracy theories. Why is Hayley Mills and Juliet Mills and their father, because he moved into one of Sir John Mills. He's got a knighthood. Somehow, these two beautiful little girls got right into Disney. And I'm not going to say any more than that, but there's something very suspicious about that. And Hayley did Pollyanna, and I've talked about this, the sole conspiracy theorist that brings up Polly, that's multi, Anna, like it's some kind of multiple personality disorder, and it's full of really mysterious, that rainbow image, the that a lot of stars use. What's it called when you call it? It's not the rainbow, it's the reflection of the sun into the crystals, and it makes this kind of rainbow image. Anyway, it's getting, no, it's not late, but I've talked about this before. And what's her name? Did a whole great big tour. I was talking about last episode or the one before, Taylor Swift's show. Her tour was called Aries, which is not Aries, the star sign, but it was another word that's mysterious. She's another one, up to no good. But Hayley Mills did Pollyanna. And I'm suggesting that all these big stars into conspiracies, like Jay Dyer and his very excellent, sharp-minded wife, have never done any breakdown on Pollyanna, but I spotted that years ago. I thought, what are these? How comes a strange rainbow motif when she keeps pointing to the, and she's there with old Carl Malden, the giant nose. Suspicious. Anyway, then I discovered, because this is gut instinct here, that I was totally going, you know, and Juliet, his sister, did a fantastic show called Nanny and the Professor in the 70s. And she played this kind of strange kind of witch. She had special powers. And she was this nanny that came in, and the professor was her husband. It was another one of these kind of Brady Bunch type shows. But Nanny and the Professor, she had some kind of magical power. There's a there, guaranteed. And Juliet Mills, though, also played in that kind of the twins thing, that the other suspicious poor actress. Is she still alive? That played the that show about the two twins that want their parents to get back together. She was in the original version of that. So anyway, I thought that's a bit strange that, you know, these two, you know, pretty little blonde girls became really big stars through Disney. And then her father, who, as far as I'm concerned, has nothing to do with Disney, who was also living, Woody talks about this in his book. He lived in Richard Joel Mills' house, and it was haunted, and there was rumors about the house somewhere on the banks of the Thames, just like all the houses that, Keith Richards and Anna Anita Pallenberg lived in. Every house they lived in was haunted or had some kind of witchcraft rumor about it. There. But anyway, I've discovered that Sir John Mills had this. Disney gave him this kind of. It was like this. You call it almost up to. 33rd degree, but it's not, of membership. He had this incredible membership of Disney. He was like this, he had the royal seal of highest level of Disney. He could go there at any time, blah, blah, blah. And I thought, why would that be? Because he never acted in any Disney movies, as far as I'm concerned. But his two little girls became very close to old Walt. And there's rumors about old Walt. I'll just say that. So I reckon there's a there with Hayley and Juliet Mills. I've already talked about this before. I'm repeating myself, and this is the problem I have, because I come on and I just talk with it off the top of my head, and I don't remember other shows that I've talked about. And I've done, I would hazard a guess, at least 1,000 different shows before, and maybe more, But there's a there. Why I got onto that subject, I can't remember. But anyway, I'll go through my notes and I'll talk about it a little bit more. And I have to say this, I can't believe I do these shows off the top of my head whenever I want to do them, when I feel comfortable. And they always are about exactly 1 hour long, never longer, never, maybe a few minutes late. Why is it that I've only got 1 hour of talking me? Unless another person comes on, then I can keep babbling away. But it's not going to happen tonight, I'll tell you right now. I'm going to mute and I'll be back. Now, and he's straight back. So I'm racing this time. Prime Minister of India came over here last week, or this week. He had 30,000 people in Melbourne turn up to his performance coming over there. Anthony the fuckwit Albanese, the Australia. He was there grovelling away because he knows that Modi, M-O-D-I, has way more fans and way more power than him. He just knows, you know, what's he up to when he goes home at night. I would very, very suspicious about that guy. Very. Even though he's such a stupid imbecile, he wouldn't have the brains to do anything nefarious. But there's Modi. He came over to Melbourne. Now, he's already done this before in Sydney this year, when he got 20,000 people. They packed the stadium out. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, if there was a stadium, and there is, that could have 80,000 to 100,000 or 200,000, Modi would have 200,000 Indians bowing and jumping up and clapping if they wanted to. But they don't want you to know that there's that many people that would just turn up for his appearances. They want you to just think, 20,000, 30,000. I'm telling you, he sold out both the things like within seconds. This guy is bigger than anything, any politician in this country. We have got the most useless, gormless spastics that you've ever seen, except for in England and America, in history, as your politicians. These guys are so fucking useless, as beyond it. Modi from India can come to another country fucking miles away from India and pack a stadium and sell it out. He could have done 200,000 and there would have been 200,000 Indians there screaming and clapping. No politician in the West can do that. And I'm telling you now, this is telling you who's coming in. It's not the Chinese, it's the Indians. The Chinese have got their whatever they're doing, but the Australia and New Zealand are being royally taken over, and Canada, and England, the West, rather, by the, again, very likable, family-centric, look kind of like the locals of, you know, they're even, and I'm telling, this is the other thing, changing the subject, but what I've noticed is the AI algorithm, this is why there's no AI on the show at all. I don't like anything to do with it. That's why another reason why I kind of moved away from a couple of other platforms, because they love AI. I hate it. What the AI can do is start sending fake stories into your social media. As soon as it detects enough people getting upset about something, all of a sudden there's a whole lot of stories will come out attacking that something that was waking people up. The other day, there was a story on Thursday. Lennox Head, which is near Byron Bay, a osteopath. Now, this is I have never met an osteopath I didn't like. They like physiotherapists. They're people that care about you. They're lovely people. They are healers. They're anti-vax, guaranteed. All of them, every single one. I've never met one that would have even thought about it. And yoga. A yoga instructor, osteopath, was accused in the media of, we're talking about bestiality and said child abuse material. The boyfriend, so she's Swedish blonde-headed, it looks like an attractive-looking Swedish female, osteopath, has been charged, or this is in the media, in an area, again, it has been attacked nonstop because it was such an anti-vaccine centre of Australia. She's been charged with bestiality. The boyfriend, or whatever he is he another, I think he was a yoga instructor as well, whatever, with sleeping with his dog. Now let me just tell you now, this stuff goes on with Satanists, for sure. Rollo, with his, the guy's just, he's a great, people come to him and tell him things. he cannot stop himself telling. He said some very interesting things about a very famous politician in Australia that some girl opened up to him and told him about. This stuff is going on. Bestiality is part of the, what do they call themselves? The Frankfurt School said, necrophilia and bestiality need to be normalized before the big revolution, which is coming. And I'm telling you now, it's coming. So this attack was on an area near Byron Bay, full of anti-vaxxers, blonde protagonist, Germanish named boyfriend. Apparently he's sleeping with his dog. She's having sex with animals. And there's something to do with children involved. And I straight away went, this is a bit, like, it's such a nasty story. And I thought, is this an attack on that area again? Like, they've done enough weather manipulation over there. Are they coming after the anti-vaxxers with this? And when they get prosecuted, these two random people will probably be, you know, they'll say they were anti-vaxxers as well. And I'm telling you, this is the way that's going with the algorithm and the AI. It's taking over. Be told. Again, you're hearing the greatest information on the planet for free on truthmeets.com. Now, this stuff, I just looked at it and I went, it looks such a nasty story. What's the agenda here? And then I looked, blonde, female, Swedish, you know, looks completely normal to me. His boyfriend looks German, you know, dark-headed German, sleeping with his. You're listening to 73 Beatle.
No matter what your age,
you're listening to Conversation.
Or your affiliation.
On truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now back to the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
What a voice Joel's got. What a voice. And he's out there somewhere. I think he's got the night off tonight. You should see what he's trying to set up. Oh my God. He's showed me a few photos. He's bought some kind of what we call it, a well out there set up for his, truthmeets.com digital stuff. I can't even explain to you what this stuff will do, but, you'll hear it in the future. Guaranteed. Anyway, back to this incredible story. Now, I could be wrong. Now, they could be a couple of Satanists because I looked at what this is the amazing thing with social media. They haven't been able to like stop this at the moment. They will eventually go into the comments and start looking at this random people like you or me, we could put a comment on that thing. And if it's overseas, they won't be able to read it for sure. But if it's a local one, your comment will be published on these smaller sites. And you could say, I read there was apparently one, this particular person was saying this thing's going on up that way a fair bit. There's a lot of rumors about bestiality and, certain things going on and the cops are protecting them. And I went straight away. I said, well, this does not surprise me because they're all part of, you know, if they've got that checkered floorboard thing around their head, be told, they're up to no good, a lot of them. I'm not talking about your ground level cop. I'm talking about your detectives and other ones. I heard, and I've met a lot of dodgy ones. Anyway, this story just stood out to me as being a slur on osteopaths, yoga students, and people that live in Lismore, whatever it is said before. It's near Lismore. Lennox Head. Lennox. Beautiful area. Full of people like, Pete Evans? That they attack nonstop because he was anti-vax. Now I'm telling you, they are coming after the anti-vaxxers again because there's all of a sudden they've detected a few sick birds on the beach. Done some kind of test and said, no, it's this H1N1 bird flu. What a load of old fucking codswallop. They can find a dead bird on the beach, and I find them all the time because often they get blown out to sea and they get washed and dead. Do their bullshit test for viruses and go, oh, the bird died. It was died of H1N1. Make it all up as you go. And all of a sudden, they can start exterminating chickens. And that's what they're coming after. They do not want you eating protein or having your own ability to source your own protein. And that's why they'll be able to say, oh, the fish is probably infected now. Oh, sorry, the H1N1's, it's jumped from the birds to the fish. And enough dummies out there will stop eating fish. Not me. I'm talking about the imbeciles of the public. The imbeciles of the public out there. And I hear them all the time, you know, g'day, mate. You know, a lot of blokes talk like this up where I live, you know, in their 80s, you know. Just got out of fucking hospital, mate. Yeah, I had me booster shot and I killed over the next day because obviously the bloody COVID was still hanging around in the air and it must have watched me get me booster shot and it tried to get me. But, yeah, I was in hospital for 3 months and luckily I had me booster shot because that obviously saved me. And it's like, you fucking idiot. This is going on all the time, and these people are believing everything they read in their Sydney Morning Herald, their Daily Telegraph, et cetera, or whatever's on the 6 o'clock news. Yeah, mate, yeah, I always watch the 6 o'clock news, mate. They would never lie to us. I'm telling you, mate. Oh, fucking hell. But that's why it's going. And these poor old people are just getting culled. And there's a replacement coming over here, though, just to make sure the numbers are boosted. I saw a lovely couple and their children. And you could tell, really nice people from that particular country. She was pregnant, two little kids running around, buying, no problem, you know, buying expensive stuff in the supermarket. And hardly spoke any English by the sound of it. They're coming over here. You would not believe how many are coming over here, unless you're in England. Then you would know exactly who I'm talking about. But these are the criminals that you see on these YouTube shorts, whatever I get. These are family-centric, well-educated, middle-class Indians that I would welcome to be living next to me on either side. No problem. I know that their children are going to go to the best schools. My children are best friends with their children. But I keep saying this, there's an agenda there and we need to be aware that at the end of the day, there's some people aren't going to be around in the future. And that is your, g'day mate, how are you? You know, the old Aussies, gone.
I just had my second booster shot, mate. Yeah, I feel, I nearly died twice, but I'm going to get a third one because that bloody COVID.
Oh dear. This is happening. I hear this conversation all the time. I have this conversation. Things are bad and things are grim. This is why I'm doing my own show and I don't want to be part of any ists or whatevers. I just like to talk to myself. Or if there's anyone wants to come on and they're not going to be telling me silly things, no problem. I saw, what's his name? There was a comment tonight saying, what should I do? I'm on this platform, blah, blah. I said, come in and talk for fuck's sake. Just come in and talk because you've got a platform. Go, and if you want to keep, and if there's people out there, go on the fakeologist.com and talk. As far as I'm aware, you can go in there and say whatever you want. I did it for 8 years. I would have preferred just to talk to myself or Frank or someone like that that was totally agreed with most of what I said. I talk to Rollo a lot and those shows are out there. They are out there. And Susie, thank you to Susie. She's got all the information there. She can. I've suggested that we do a best of Rick and Rollo show. I don't think we're going to hear from him for a while, if not forever again. But if he does, fantastic. If he doesn't, well, we've done a lot of shows. We can play, what's that song? Didn't We Almost Have It All by Whitney Houston? Strange Death. And no, I will never be playing that song. But her manager, that very suspicious old manager, he died the other day. A lot of old old music producers, etc., dying lately. I noticed, or are they? Yeah, most of them are in their 90s, so they're dying. They'll be told. Anyhow, what else have I got to say before I go? Because I would guarantee you'll be getting close to an hour again. Fantastic. Beer reminders. Oh, Keith Flint, Prodigy. Now, I am a big Prodigy fan. A big Prodigy fan. That's the band. Well, they call it kind of electronic, whatever. I watched another documentary with Keith, about Keith, because he died, and I'm telling you now, yes, he possibly did commit suicide, but he hung himself. Now, I've got a real problem with rock stars hanging themselves. If you were a rock star, especially one that was au fait with drugs, and he was, you go and source yourself some pure smack and stick it in your arm, you know, four times a dose and have the most pleasurable death you've ever thought of, I believe. You just stop breathing. You'll be out off your head. Now, particularly a number of Michael Hutchins, what's his name, from Soundgarden, same age as me, he hung himself. Oh, I'm telling, this guy was an ex-junkie too. There's no way anyone would die that way, suffocating and struggling and kicking your legs out and urinating and shitting yourself. That's how you die if you hang yourself. So I don't trust anyone that says someone rich died by hanging. I'm suggesting they were hung or murdered or whatever. It's fake. I don't know. But I'm suggesting Keith Flint was too smart, too happy. He was doing, you know, lots of athletic stuff. He was running. He got off drugs. He'd split up from his, you know, married a Japanese chick. I just watched a documentary on him. And I know for a fact that, you know, the guy was probably the same age as me. Oh, no, he would have been a bit younger. But there is no way a guy with that much money would go and kill himself in that miserable way. And particularly, again, we're talking about Michael Hutchins. And this is the perfect, this is MI6 all over it, or MI5 come up with this thing. So many times you hear about, oh, this agent, he was up to no good, but we found him. He was doing into auto asphyxiation. And I'm telling you now, nobody dies that way. It's, you know, maybe one in a million would try and, you know, auto asphyxiation. They can use all sorts of techniques. If that's a thing, and I doubt that's a thing, although I could say some things about, I've been reading about, I won't bring that up, but I could. If this was a rick and roller, I would. There's a thing about people strangling each other, particularly women, asking for it, you know. But men, I've found it very hard to believe. Have I experienced it? You know, I've heard of it. I could say yes. I've noticed there is a there with that. But as far as these rock stars or actors, and the other one was definitely, what's his name? Mork from Mork. No way did he die like that. I don't care what you say, how much depression. He could have organized a gram of pure, the best heroin you could get and took enough to kill three people, shot into his veins and died within, you know, minutes possibly. You would not stick something around your neck and jump off a thing, because you knew that someone was going to find you like that too, you know, and literally all your bodily functions have gone. It'd be a horror show. I do not believe anyone with a lot of money would hang themselves. These are people who have been whacked, star whackers, or they faked it, one of the two. But there's no way any of those people that I'm talking about, Keith Flint particularly, was he saying things? He could have been. He just seems like a really nice guy. And I'm a big Prodigy fan. Even though there's a lot of evil intent in that music. But if you use it for exercise and things like that and you reverse the intent and use it for energy, no problem. No problem. Will we go out with a Prodigy song? Possibly, actually, might do, actually, because I was listening to one, I was at the gym tonight. One of the older ones. Can you imagine being out in a field or in a big warehouse in 91, 90, and that band coming on with their sound system, and you're on Ease and Whiz, you know, it's Speed and Ecstasy. And that the ecstasy back then, we're talking about incredible, really nice stuff. Yes, it was. Yes, it was. And listening to this kind of stuff, you know, when you're in a, and everyone's getting on together, and it was this whole kind of new revolution of, and just like what's his name said, you know, that the 90s will make the 60s look like the 50s or whatever it was, the guy from Easy Rider. And he said that in that movie, and I totally agree that the 90s were way better than the 60s, way better. The more people were kind of, they gelled together. It was a good scene. I wasn't kind of really part of it. I kind of got into it a bit, but I was never, I don't like being part of any giant group. And a lot of these guys now are on antidepressants now because of what they did with the ecstasy, because it causes a huge amount of serotonin depletion in your body. So taking too much of anything, but every now and then it is fucking fantastic. And back in 90 something or other, I think it was called a Green Apple from Amsterdam. These things were like, there's, you know, it changes music, it changes your, who you're hanging out with. It's fake. It's a fake euphoria, but you are fantastic for the, you know, few hours and you have another one. Fantastic stuff, but not good for you. I'm not recommending it, but I do think if it's there's benefits to a mild doses on a semi-regular basis. You hit it for like Keith Flint did, and I would say there could be in there with what he did. But have a look at his imagery, and he always had the pointy, you know, the kind of demonic kind of thing. And maybe he channeled too much demons into him, but I don't believe a guy with that much money would hang himself. I'm sorry. So there. And we're going to go with a Prodigy song. And I'll send it to Joel. And I'll be back at some stage. Possibly doing a show tomorrow with Dave. I'm not sure. I haven't contacted him, but I've been coughing and spluttering and I have not been feeling. I'm telling you now, this nasty virus thing that's going on. Sorry, not virus. Can't say that. This flu, this electromagnetic parasite, it causes your brain to be really, a lot of negative thoughts come into your head. Unless you've got the skills to bounce them out, it's nasty. Beware. Thanks, everybody. I'll be back. One, two, and you're going to hear an old Prodigy song from, I would say, 90, 89, 90, at their best. Can you imagine, though, you'd be listening to this on Ease and Whiz. In a big old factory somewhere in England, it will be a fabulous be told. I'll be back and I'll speak to you again. Bye-bye. A one, a two, a three, Prodigy coming right up. Bye.